Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. Yesterday, we began looking at the verses found in Luke, the second chapter, and since we're drawing so close to Christmas, I thought it'd be well to just review that beautiful Christmas story that is recorded there in those chapters of Luke. And we were focusing on the shepherds and the amazing thing that God did. He chose to bring the beautiful, simple message of salvation to the simplest group of people at that time, shepherds. They were peasants. They were not considered very significant or important in terms of that, the era of that time. They basically, I read somewhere that they wouldn't even normally be used as a witness in a trial situation because they were considered not trustworthy. Their work made them ceremonially unclean. And so, yet, God wanted to illustrate a very important point in that this good news that the angel announced to the shepherds who were awestruck as they saw that night sky filled with the glory of God and the angels of God praising God was that to the simplest and humblest heart, God would reveal Himself. And we see they obviously responded in a way that was pleasing to God because they did more than just hear the message, they did something about it. But before we go there, let's look at the actual concept of the shepherding, the lambs. They shepherded flocks. And of course, we know Jesus was called the spotless Son of God. That's how John the Baptist announced Him, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And Jewish tradition contained in the Midrash said that the Messiah would be revealed from the Migdal Eder, the tower of the flock. Now, this tower was a watchtower, if you would, for the pasture land that lay close to the town of Bethlehem on the road to Jerusalem. So the shepherds who were working there took care of the temple flocks, the sheep that were meant for sacrifice. Now, we don't know the exact date of Jesus' birth. According to some scholars, Harold Holner, the chronological aspect of the life of Christ, he believes that a December date is reasonable. Some hold strong to the fact that it was in September. But you know what? It does not matter the actual date as far as I'm concerned. Historically, for hundreds of years, Christians traditionally have celebrated, and even the world has recognized, even as materialistic as this culture is that we live in today, here in America, they still celebrate Christmas. Well, they may choose not to call it Christmas. They'd rather call it the holidays. But, you know, even when you use that word, what does that mean when you break it? It's holy days. And so they have not totally been able to break away from the traditional time of celebration that has been sacred and important to believing faithful Christians through the centuries. And so rather than argue about should we celebrate on Christmas or not, it's a pagan holiday, beloved, we are celebrating the fact that Jesus came. And I just refuse to go there. I refuse to argue that. If that's how you feel, if those are your convictions, God bless you. But this is a time when more people are open to the message of Christmas. Even in some stores, they'll still play Christmas carols, which have the gospel message in them. So let's not be divisive and argumentative. Let's understand that while we may not know the exact date of Jesus' birth, that we're celebrating the fact that he was born. However, if it wasn't December, these shepherds were likely tending the very sheep that were being prepared for slaughter at the next Passover a few months from then. These shepherds who were watching the temple or the Passover lambs were invited to see, hallelujah, the true Passover Lamb of God. Isn't that precious? Because they were told where to go. On the first broadcast I shared, I read the passages, Luke basically 1 through 11. And so they had the privilege of seeing the true Lamb of God in the flesh. But the message that the angels brought is so simple in content. How simple and yet how sublime is God's means of salvation. Who would have ever thought, no human would have ever conceived the thought, that the Messiah, the King of the ages, he who spoke the worlds into existence, would be born as a tender, fragile, helpless baby and in such humble circumstances. Now, think about it. If human beings had arranged for the birthplace of Jesus, they would have chosen a palace with a royal crib and robes of silk. But instead, what did God do? God's promised Messiah that had been spoken of from the very beginning, from the opening pages of Genesis, he told Eve, as a result of her sin, there would be one born who would crush the head of the serpent. He would bruise his heel. But God promised salvation even at that horrific time when they had disobeyed God and they were being expelled from the garden. God did not let them depart from his presence without the message of hope that God himself had arranged a solution for their sin. And that's true for every human being who has ever lived since that time, that if we will confess our sins, everyone is guilty. Everyone is a sinner. That original sin has been imputed to us. We have a sin nature. It's the result of being born into the family, into the human race, into the human family. And so, beloved, we have to recognize that there's not one righteous, no, not one. And so we have to understand that the Lord chose in very beautiful, simple, prophetic terms that he was causing the Savior of the world to be born, he was born in a stable, or some say a cave, on the outskirts of Bethlehem, and he was laid in a feeding trough. It was a place that smelled like any barn. It was a feeding place for the animals. There wasn't any halo over the baby's head, and no matter what the carol mates say, the baby did cry. He was a normal human baby. There were no photographers, no news crews, no dignitaries from the temple that night. There was just, if you can imagine, a plainly dressed carpenter and his young wife who were tired and weary from that trip, from that hick town of Nazareth. There they were. And obviously it wasn't quite the way men would expect God to launch the Messiah into this world. God brings salvation to Adam's fallen race by taking human flesh on himself, yet without sin. Emmanuel, that's his name, God with us, Isaiah says, as our sinless substitute, our sin offering, he bore our sin to satisfy God's righteous justice. And anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord, he took our punishment, the one that you and I deserved, so that we could become children of God. Children can understand the gospel in its simplicity, and yet sometimes learned scholars don't get it. They cannot grasp it. But while the message was simple, it also has responsibility and obligations, although those obligations are also simple. The message requires a response. Just like when we hear that message, when we heard the gospel preached, we had a choice and the ability to respond, to refuse or reject. And The shepherds had a similar response, but what did they do? They were humble of heart, and they responded. They simply believed the word of God through the angel, as shown by their leaving their flocks and going to Bethlehem. Obviously, they could have sinned around and debated that and say, well, was this a mass hallucination? Or, they would have devised some reason or argument, you know, trying to justify or try to understand what had occurred. But no, they simply believed it and went. And they told others what they had seen. And they went back to their sheep, glorifying and praising God. And so what do we see, beloved? True belief is more than just intellectual assent. True belief always results in obedient response. That's why, beloved, the apostle said, our faith without works is dead. That James counsels us not to just be hearers of the word, but to be a doer. And if we really believe, it will result in obedience. It will result in an obedient response to what God is saying. The shepherds heard the angel, they left their flocks, and they went straight to Bethlehem to see that which had been made known to them. And their lives, even though we don't hear any record of them in Scripture, their lives were never the same for it. And the same for everyone who has accepted Jesus. When God reveals Christ to your soul, beloved, you must take him at his word. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You have to personally believe the revelation which God has given concerning his Son. And if you have truly believed in God's Son, your life will change. No one is saved by changing their life, by willpower, by joining some organization, but saving faith always results in change. Hallelujah. Father, if there's anyone listening that has not known the beauty of your salvation, I pray that they will repent of their sins and turn to you, you who are the only way, truth, and life. Praise God. Well, beloved, my time is again drawing to a close, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. But we'll continue on and look further at what the shepherds did. And I invite you at this busy time of year, if sometimes even though it's busy, it's joyous, there's a lot of things going on, that's the greatest time that we need to seek the Lord and to seek and claim his peace and believe him. It's also a difficult time for families. Sometimes there's a lot of relationship problems. You still have time. Email me, write me, and we can pray about those family relationships. I love you. I pray for you every day. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you. And until tomorrow, beloved, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,